We're out at St. Andrews on this week's WGT Challenge. It's the first hole on the closest to the hole challenge on WGT. And it's a fun one. It's difficult. You kind of have to get a little luck based on the wind when you play. You're probably going to play it a lot. You might as well just go and pay the like $2.99 to get rid of the ads because you're going to want to play it a lot. But if you're the closest to the hole and someone's gotten it tight. You are going to win a prize, which is your choice of a gift card to a cool business in the Denver area or a t-shirt of your choice from bsndenvermerch.com. Got something to say, Zach?
You guys make me feel bad. You make me feel bad playing this game because you'll send in screenshots of like 3 feet away. And you're like, ah, not that good this time. I'm like, my best right now on this hole is like 17 feet out.
Wow.
And then, of course, they send in another screenshot like 3 minutes later, and they're like 1.5 feet out.
Unfortunately, I'm playing this hole like I'm playing real golf. It's Army golf. In the water, in the sand, on the beach. Never on the green.
It's like D-Day. All right. Make sure you get in on the WGT Challenge. It's been a humbling experience for Zach Stevens. but you might be a winner. And every week you play, you're going to get entered into the grand prize at the end, which is your choice of a jersey or tickets to a game. So with that, let's jump into the show.
Broncos country is sitting in the south stands, drinking the curry. The best part of the weekend, hugging a perfect stranger as they become a friend, having a good time when the orange and blue WIN. Tuning in every day with the good folks down at BSN.
The BSN Broncos podcast presented by Strava Craft Coffee. I was up late last night recording a Buffs podcast with a couple of my buddies, and I needed some Strava Craft Coffee this morning. I'm already 2 cups deep and feeling good now. So shout out to Strava Craft Coffee, the official sponsor of this pod and the official sponsor of me being energetic right now.
I'm saving mine till the afternoon, as always.
You weirdo.
It's that 2:30 crash you have.
Yep,
I need a little burst, a little buzz then.
Are we outnumbering you on this?
Oh, I need that too. I just also drink it in the morning.
If Bucks-Panthers is the quality football experience tonight that I expect it to be, I might need it about 7 o'clock or 7:30 or so.
I think it's going to be a good one. Christian McCaffrey, that doesn't interest you?
The only reason that interests you is because you have him on your fantasy team. Okay. I see right through it.
What is Carolina now? 1-8 in its last 9? Dating back to last year?
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Because they were 6-2
in mid-season. We got to hold this prediction off till the end of this segment.
We will. And Jameis Winston is Jameis Winston. Y'all know I'm a Bucks fan. I've seen enough of this guy. I can't deal with it anymore.
I call tonight's game the Mace game. I mean, these are your two teams outside of this state.
Yes, that's true. It's always tough because I work for the Panthers. I still know a lot of people in that building. I wish the best for them. Grew up a Bucks fan. I tend to watch it when they're both struggling with a degree of amusement and humor. Anyway.
Hopefully not the way people are viewing the Broncos team.
Right, yeah, they are.
Not as much humor as the Jets, but yes.
Yeah, at least no one has mono that we know of.
Especially your starting quarterback.
I saw a funny tweet. Someone said it was a picture of Bill Belichick smiling, and it just said Demaryius Thomas had mono.
Wow.
Oh my gosh!
But anyways, the Broncos are on track to get an important piece back, and I wanted to talk about this because I think, I don't know, 2 years ago at this time, people would not have felt as if this guy was an important piece. But Mace, you wrote the story yesterday that Todd Davis is on track to return in this game. And for me, that's huge for this defense.
Yeah, it's very telling that on Monday night, from the inside linebacker position, you had Corey Nelson playing 49 snaps. So almost the entire game. One tackle. Josie Jewell had 13 Ooh. Tackles. Josie Jewell, he's a guy who's still kind of finding his way, learning this scheme, learning how to be an inside linebacker in the NFL, but he was cleaning up the mess left by Corey Nelson, who was really struggling out there in every way, shape, or form. And he was actually at the start of that Josh Jacobs catch and run. He was the primary man in coverage to open that play. So there's been a lot of consternation about Todd Davis over the last couple of years. I know Bronco fans.
Is that a word of the day?
Yes, it means frustration.
Okay, what was it again?
Consternation.
Consternation, not to be confused with constipation. Go on.
The defense looked a little constipated on Monday, but I digress. So it hasn't always been positive in terms of the sentiments for Todd Davis, but there's sort of a recognition now of what you didn't have. And it's not just about Todd Davis as a linebacker. It's about Todd Davis as a leader. He was a team captain last year on the defensive side for a reason. And as we saw yesterday at practice, late yesterday afternoon, the Broncos practiced about 3 hours later than they normally do when they finished their stretching and it was time to have the breakdown before going into individual work. It was Todd Davis who addressed the team. You could hear it easily from well on the sideline where we were all standing. And there's a fire there that the Broncos did not have on Monday. And maybe what we're talking about in terms of finding the leadership and energy, maybe Todd Davis, if he's in there on Sunday, can help the Broncos find that.
Have you guys heard of the company LifeLock?
Yes.
Is that, it's like a burglary.
Right? Yep.
Is it both identity theft and home theft?
I don't know. It's something along those lines. Do you know who the founder is?
Drew Locke.
Todd Davis. Todd Davis is the founder of LifeLock. Now, a different Todd Davis, but this Todd Davis could be the lock to this team's life and
how did
saving.
Wow.
Where were you going with
did
this?
Did you work on this all morning?
Maybe. Maybe I was up late last night, and that's why I need my Strava a little early this morning.
Bing.
But seriously, on this defense, like you said, Mace, who would have thought that Todd Davis would be the answer to this team? But in terms of play, they need his play. I mean, come on.
We've got a new nickname for Todd Davis. The founder.
The founder. But they need his play because, come on, how bad is it that Alexander Johnson played zero snaps last week on defense?
Did he really?
Yeah.
Zero.
Zero snaps. So you had Keyshawn Bieria and Alexander Johnson, two guys that rotated in. Justin Hollins also rotated in. And we didn't see them. It was all Corey Nelson. So obviously they didn't like what they saw from those young linebackers working on the inside over the course of the summer. But I'm sorry, I can't imagine that they would have been more ineffective than Corey Nelson was out there.
That's what I was going to say. I think they totally made the wrong call there. You could clearly see Corey was thinking, and it's not his fault. I feel like they put him in a bad position, and it's a coach's job to put a player in position to succeed. And he was out there, and like you see him on – there's like a little Texas route from, I think, Josh Jacobs. And you just – like I could feel him thinking because he was like backpedaling, and then once he got the ball, he was late to break. And, you know, it's just – there's an old saying from a coach that was something along the lines of preparation equals – something equals playing fast. And I know it's a really good saying that I just came up with. But it's essentially like preparation equals knowledge equals playing fast. And
there you go.
That's
not preparation H.
No. But Corey Nelson didn't have the preparation, and thus he didn't have the knowledge, and thus he didn't play fast. And it's not his fault. So it is weird that you didn't put any of those guys out there who would have at least known what was being asked of them. Or maybe they didn't, and that was the problem.
And I think also with Corey Nelson, the Broncos brought him back, and he can help on special teams. But you can't overlook the fact that he was released by three teams in a little over 12 months. Mm-hmm. Philadelphia, Atlanta, and then most recently Tampa Bay. And Tampa Bay did draft Quan Alexander at inside linebacker, but that's not a defense that's setting the world on fire, and they didn't think Corey Nelson was good enough.
And he played in over 80% of your defensive snaps as the starter in the middle of the defense last week. So not only do you get a three-year starter back on the team, but you get a leader. I mean, he may be the one with the green dot on his helmet calling the plays. That's got to probably settle the other veterans down on the defense a little bit. A captain last year, Vance Joseph, loved what Todd brought and his mentality. And that's the third thing you get is the passion. I mean, Mace, we couldn't report what we heard from Todd saying to his teammates.
There were some colorful metaphors in there.
There was a lot. And what was it? It was 4 p.m. on Wednesday. What's Todd going to be like on Saturday night? What's he going to be like on Sunday right before the game? This is a guy where he could be the heart and soul of this defense, which is crazy to say.
I'd send him out there for the coin toss as one of the captains for this week if he's out there. Just to underscore the fact that, okay, he's important, and we expect things to be different in part because we got number 51 back out there.
Yeah,
just send that message.
And maybe we come away from this game based on Todd Davis's impact saying, okay, we give the defense a little pass for week one because they didn't have their, you know, spiritual leader out there on the field. They
we all underestimated Todd Davis.
Yep.
I think not just us in this room. I think probably if you're listening out there, a lot of you probably underestimated Todd Davis's importance.
That's what so many people said on Twitter last night. They said, I never thought I'd want to see Todd Davis this much.
Well, and the other thing that is into play here is, like, we saw the defense still look good without him in practice and stuff. So I think that's why it was easy to just kind of forget about it. But the guys that we saw who were looking good in practice weren't on the field either. So it'll be huge for this D to get Todd Davis back. We think Bryce Callahan, too, would maybe we give him a break for not having him out there. But we don't know how long that's going to be.
What is going on with Bryce?
Clearly going backwards. And you pointed that out on Twitter.
Yeah, because he was limited last week. We saw him out there in individual work. And then yesterday at the start of practice, he's off to the side. He's chatting with Vic Fangio for a little while out there between the two fields while the defensive backs are going through their paces. That's obviously a step in the wrong direction. Pardon the pun, because we're talking about some guy's foot injury.
What scares me is that the Broncos misdiagnosed it, mishandled it at the very beginning, because they just said, oh, his foot was stepped on. And so that was the end of questioning. We just thought maybe it was a little sore, and this was a foot that was broken last year.
Wouldn't be the first time.
That's exactly the problem.
I mean, it's a few years ago, but we all know Julius Thomas basically had an entire two seasons ruined because he was rushed back from an ankle injury that was poorly diagnosed.
How about Devontae Booker? Mm. Broke his wrist and then went through the whole offseason without knowing it,
right,
and then came back and realized it on the first day of camp.
Right, and so now, if let's say he needs surgery or something, if you would have got that done, what was that, the end of July? Maybe he's back now. Maybe he's back in a month. I don't know. But if you pushed it off and now he needs something, and I have no information that says that that's the case. But like Mace pointed out, trending backward is never good. It's especially if you're Brendan Langley.
I'm not comfortable with that. I wasn't able to get any hard information on this, but I think as you guys have noticed me hinting, I've heard it's not going to be soon. And
that's bad.
And that's not good at all. The weird thing is, like, what could it be? Like, did he break his foot?
What if it was a midfoot injury, like a Lisfranc?
Right.
That's where it gets really scary.
But
wow.
Like, was there x-rays? What's going on here? Because I feel like if it was a sprained foot, it'd be fine by now. If it was anything that wasn't serious, it should be fine. But if it was serious, then wouldn't they be taking some steps to fix it now? Put him in a cast, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, the problem with some of these foot injuries is that the only way they get better is rest, and sometimes putting him in a cast isn't going to help out. I mean, what if it's plantar fasciitis, like Peyton Manning had? And the only thing you can do for that, unless it's a full tear, is you got to put some orthotics in, and you just have to watch the physical activity for a while, and you just got to take your time with it.
This is weird for the NFL, in my opinion. I've experienced this in college where guys get injured and you have no idea what the injury is.
Yeah.
Usually the NFL is a bit more transparent about this stuff. I'm a little confused as to why we're getting no information on this.
Well, I think it was also interesting that you had the reports about Juwan James, and generally the sense that we're all getting is it's going to be probably several weeks. And Vic Fangio kind of said a couple of weeks.
The old, a couple of weeks, and then we'll reevaluate to tell you a couple more weeks after that.
It is interesting that Juwan James isn't going on injured reserve, but I think that may be at least as much a function of the fact that if you want him back, and you want to get two other players back, you can't do it, and you just have to deactivate him for the next few weeks.
I mean, what's going to happen if another guy gets hurt? Touch wood. That's important.
I think the problem is instead of touching wood in this room, we're touching plastic or metal.
Don't admit
that. It's not working.
We're supposed to bring the token. I forgot it.
It typically is always here. But here's the thing with the injured reserve. If you keep losing, you can't put anyone else back on it because you have to have the ability to take Drew Lock off. And what? You're going to pay Theo Riddick $3 million to sit on injured reserve after practicing for 3.5 days with you?
They paid Simeon Rice $3 million for no sacks 1 year.
That's true. But I don't think you can do that. And that's why I think that Vic Fangio says a couple of weeks for Juwan James to kind of ease the blow of and to not get the question of, well, why aren't you putting him on injured reserve? Because we know injured reserve is, you know, half the season. So if you come out and you say he's going to miss a lot of time or several weeks, a couple kind of eases it back.
I think we're one injury away from maybe having to wave goodbye to Drew Lock for this season.
And then if you have a lousy year, the season is a complete and utter failure.
And that's why you can't do it. So
if you keep losing, Drew Lock has to play.
I'm not going to name names, but there are players on this team who, if they get injured, you have to bring them back.
Yeah.
You have to, but you can't just keep setting guys down without putting them on IR, and all of a sudden you've got 44 players left on game day.
You'd have to, though, because how inconceivable is it that the Broncos lose on Sunday?
Not at all inconceivable.
You can believe it, right?
It's a coin flip game.
So what about the following week in Green Bay?
That's not a coin flip game. Unless Aaron Rodgers gets hurt in Minnesota on Sunday.
So it's very possible that they could start 0-3. Then let's say an injury happens. You can't make it so you can't bring Drew Lock back. You can't.
Well, I think
just
now.
Hold the season at that point.
Well, if you perceive the inactive list as sort of a short-term injured reserve, then
that's true.
Okay,
that's
true. Juwan James is on there, and that's tough. You still have six spots to play with here.
So
you're not
six out.
You're
Corey
not
Levins or but, Levine or whatever his name is. Welcome to the active roster.
But for the moment, right now, you have that. You have Juwan James, Andy Janovich, and Joe Jones, and Bryce Callahan. So now you're up to four.
Oh, my God. And how many inactives do you need each week?
Seven.
Seven.
Seven, and you've already got four. Yeah, like I said, you're okay, maybe it's not one injury away.
I feel bad for the three healthy players
right.
that are inactive. In hockey, they'd say the healthy scratches. You know, it's like you have to sit there and think, what am I doing wrong here?
Yep.
46 yeah. guys up, and I'm one of the three down.
That's a bad look. I'm worried about these 6 to 8 week injuries have them completely handcuffed. Like, I knew it was bad when it happened, but now all of a sudden, like, you know, your hands are behind your back. You have no flexibility. It's not like you can go sign someone.
And there was hope for some of those 6 to 8 week injuries that week two they would be back, because that's when like the 6 weeks fell for them. And you're not seeing Joe Jones, Andy Janovich, any of these guys have any progress this week.
Well, Andy had a helmet on, right?
So did Joe Jones.
In terms of like being limited or actually practicing legitimately. Well, but you're right. There's been a little bit of progress.
I wonder with Andy Janovich as well, if when he's healthy, does Andrew Beck go to inactive, or do they try to put him on the practice squad perhaps?
Yeah. I think that route. Mm-hmm.
So there's a spot.
Yeah.
Positivity.
Yeah, I knew it was going to be a little bit longer with Andy when I ran into him in the press box getting food, and I asked him how I was going, and he just said slow. Slow.
He's not used to going slow in anything.
No.
Speaking of Andy, I'm sorry that you weren't at open locker room yesterday. He was paying up on a bet or two, wearing a nice CU shirt too.
Yeah.
It was a gold outline of a buff it was a black shirt with black CU written in it. It looked clean.
Is it a t-shirt or?
It was a t-shirt. Yep.
All right. Well, maybe he can just give it to me when he's done with it. Or maybe he's just a Buffs fan now. Wouldn't want to be a Nebraska fan anyway. Yeah. I'm glad that happened. Do you think did he talk at all?
He ran in the locker. I saw him wearing it when the door opened in the training room. So I knew it was coming. And then he just ran in and ran out. Someone tried to stop him for a picture and he said, "No way."
Yeah. I've never seen him get out of that room that fast.
Come on. That's like welch. You might as well welch on the bed if there's not picture evidence.
Well, the point of it is he has to wear it around the building all day. So he's wearing it in the meetings and that sort of thing. So for internal purposes, he just doesn't want all of us seeing it. Because I think he probably assumes that he's in enemy territory when it comes to Nebraska CU, and that everyone is pro CU. Of course, there's plenty of CSU people in the media corps who were for Nebraska.
I haven't heard anything from them in 5 years. It's weird.
Basketball season's coming soon.
We got a game tonight. We want to talk about that now or later?
Let's jump into it now. The Mace Bowl. Out in Carolina, I believe, isn't it? Isn't it?
It is in Charlotte. Yes.
You're keeping track of these records, right?
I got him. Don't remind me. This is a new week. We're all gonna go undefeated, and it starts with this one: the Tampa Bay Bucks going into Carolina to face the Panthers. Both coming off losses. 0-2 matchup tonight. The Panthers are 7-point favorites. Who do you like?
I wish I had that hook, 6.5.
Well, you don't.
I don't, but I guess that worst case is a push there. I'll take the Panthers.
Confident?
No. Cam Newton's such a little whiny. I was on a podcast last night where I didn't have to watch my language. He's just a whiny baby. That's what I'll say.
Yeah, but Christian McCaffrey. I mean,
yeah,
that's exactly. A guy that you know and love.
Yep.
They're getting him the ball more and more. I swear Norv Turner has McCaffrey on his fantasy team at this point, the way he's calling
plays. That's what Cam Newton said, too.
Yeah. And, yeah, I've got to go with Carolina here at home. Now, looking over the last few years of Bucks-Panthers games that involved Jameis Winston and or Cam Newton, last year or 2 years ago, in Carolina, the Panthers win by 3. Back in 2016, in Carolina, the Bucks win by 3.
Uh-oh.
So, there have been some close games. Jameis Winston right now, though, is just, he's in the soup. And I don't know if he's going to be able to get out of it in time. You can pin the entire performance. You can pin all of the Bucks loss to the 49ers last Sunday on him. 2 pick sixes. You lose by 14.
Oh,
that's the difference.
Oh, that's brutal.
Rating of a stellar 41 or 45.4. I think it's possible he bounces back, but I think there'll be too much Christian McCaffrey. The Bucks defense had some promise last Sunday against the 49ers, but the 49ers, Jimmy Garoppolo, still isn't quite back where they want him to be. I think the Panthers can shred the Bucks. I got the Panthers by 10.
Yep, this is easy to me. Panthers with 7. Easy. We all agree, too.
Mason and I have yet to disagree on a game.
Boring. Come on, we got to spice it up for Sunday.
Well, we keep winning, so I mean.
This is true.
What can you do? All right. Shout out Breckenridge Brewery. Had a couple of them last night recording that podcast. Always delicious. Always cold, cool, and refreshing. Always flavorful. Whatever you look for in a beer, Breckenridge Brewery delivers it to you, and you can actually have it literally delivered to you if you use the Total Beverage app, and you can get 30% off. So there's really no reason why you shouldn't be doing both of those things. So enjoy some Breckenridge brews. I know all of you are. Enjoy it.
And if you're looking for something else or in addition to your Breckenridge Brewery, make sure you check out the Green Solution, which has 17 Colorado locations and an express checkout to get you in and out as fast as possible. Get out your phone right now. Go to their website, mygreensolution.com. That's mygreensolution.com. Order your flower, concentrates, edibles, and topicals online and head to the closest Green Solution for pickup. And make sure you use code BSN20, BSN20, for 20% off your entire purchase.
Quite the combo there. Hop into the questions from the subscribers now on bsndenver.com. You can comment on this podcast and have your voice heard when you subscribe. And then you can have our voices heard on every story that we write. There's just lots of voices, and they're all beautiful.
You're hearing voices at bsndenver.com.
Coming in your right ear right now.
I think it's probably just both ears. Oh, okay. It'd be cool if I could fade that, though. All right. Zach, you want to get us started?
First one coming in from FYTB512. Still haven't figured out what that name means.
I have.
Just kidding.
Fiscal year to bet.
I think that's it. Yeah, made $512. He says, "Hey fellas, although I was very disappointed with the loss to a POS team like the Raiders, I feel that some patience needs to be had when dealing with a new offense and defense. I was very hyped about this new season and always think that we are Super Bowl bound every year. But the reality is this may take time, and as long as we are seeing strides every week, then this team will demand the respect of any team it faces and the titles will come. On to my question for y'all. If Callahan is out for a longer period of time, do you see a scenario where Kareem Jackson gets moved back to cornerback and we look at the open market for a safety? I saw a report where they floated the possibility of bringing Eric Berry, but not sure how he'd hold up. But man, I'd love to see him in here. Just the fact that KC fans would lose it. But if not Berry, anyone else you see the Broncos might bring in or bring back if Jackson is looked for in a cube is moved to cornerback?"
Guys got to pay attention. We talked about this at length yesterday.
Not the Eric Berry part, though.
We did talk a little bit about Eric Berry, but obviously he's not a corner. Maybe you bring in Eric Berry so you can move Kareem Jackson to corner.
Or you just go with Will Parks.
Yeah. It's...
And I think, no offense to Eric Berry, but after the injuries that he's dealt with the last couple of years, he isn't who he was. There's a reason why the Chiefs moved on from him.
Yeah, and you don't want to bury Will Parks on the depth chart.
Oh, wow.
I'd ride with Will Parks. And I think it's what they should have done Monday. If you wanted the four best defensive backs in there when you were in base, would have involved Kareem Jackson, Chris Harris Jr. at the corners, Justin Simmons, Will Parks at safety.
He finishes by saying, "Mace, I'm a little late to the party, but your favorite fast food burger? Come on, man. I heard you debating between two choices, and you chose In-N-Out. Gotta go with Whataburger, man. So much better than what that California chain has to offer, hands down. Pair a Whataburger with a Breck beer, and you've got a match made in heaven."
I think part of it is when I went to Whataburger a couple of times, the buns were kind of soggy.
Really? Ooh, we went to Whataburger, and it was prime time eating.
The beef was good. The lettuce, tomato was good. And the spicy ketchup for your fries at Whataburger is amazing.
Patrick Mahomes' favorite.
Yes.
Yeah, I go Whataburger in that competition pretty easily, but I do give credit where it's due. In-N-Out is better than I originally thought because I just hadn't ordered correctly. Next one's from Eidos Dios. "Alexa, set a reminder for October 3rd at 7 p.m. Real talk. Shout out to Reisner for playing amazingly.
Do you know
am anything?
Am I missing something?
Is there a game? Is
there
on Thursday
not a
night
Broncos
football?
Game. I'm sure there's Thursday night, but it is not Broncos.
Maybe that's when the Atlanta Braves are playing in the divisional series if they hang on to win the NL East. For me, that's the reminder. Speaking of Atlanta, ATL Bronco. What's up, guys? Been listening for a while now and subscribed early in the Broncos camp deal. You got me, but this is my first comment. Was catching up on the pod this week and heard Mason was a USF fan. I was at the game last weekend cheering for Georgia Tech, and I wish I'd known earlier so I could have talked some trash. I would just feel bad doing that now, knowing they're on 8-game losing streak. Well, thanks for the pity. Appreciate it. Anyway, a few quick comments. Number one, Denver should definitely develop the area around Mile High. I'm not a Braves fan, but the area around the stadium, formerly known as SunTrust, is a great place to hang out and grab a few cold snacks. And I can tell you this. The plans and the ideas the Broncos are thinking about for the area south of the stadium, one of the models they have looked at is what's going on in Atlanta with the Braves Stadium. Number two, I was listening to the late night pod at the gym last month and had to put the weight down midway through a set a few times because I was laughing too hard. Pure comedy gold, #, shout out Hines. Number three, this one's for Pat. Number four, y'all should definitely do a what-if segment in the offseason. Would love to hear Mace's takes and go down some rabbit holes. I don't get enough Broncos talk living down in the South, and that would be so fun to listen to. Sorry for the long first comment. We'll keep it short in the future. Go, Broncos.
Yeah, I think it'd be better as a written content, but
we can talk about it.
We'll still have Mace's rabbit holes.
And I think maybe a way of going about it is I write these what-ifs, and then we talk about them the next day on the podcast.
Yep. Love it.
Double up.
Love it. Next one coming in from Sausage Sangahari. He says, still fuming about the Oakland game. That play where Yadam got beat on a slant slant from Williams on 3rd and 1 with a loaded box reminded me of something. Well, two things, it turns out. Week 5, 2018. Broncos at Jets. Game is tied at 7. Jets have the ball on their own 24. It's 3rd and 9. Denver has an extra defender in the box, and guess what? Roby gets beat deep on a post from Robbie Anderson for a 70-yard touchdown. Week 12, 2018, Steelers at Broncos. Game is tied at 10. 1st and 10 on their own 3-yard line. Denver again has an extra defender in the box. Roby again gets burned by Juju on a shallow post for a 97-yard touchdown. It's Groundhog Day here in Broncos country. If you do not learn from the past, history will repeat itself. Time to wake up, Broncos. Sorry for the long post.
Do you think Isaac Yiadom got hammered on Monday night and didn't show up on Tuesday?
I don't think so.
Well, at least that's a step in the right direction. But it's true. You're only as strong as your weakest link. And that's why I was so bullish on this defense this year, because I couldn't find the weakest link in the secondary when Bryce Callahan was a part of it. You take him out of the equation, now you have a weak link. And Derek Carr and John Gruden expose it.
And if that link is weak, you have to try other links to see if you can strengthen it. Hello, Devontae Bosby. Hello, Duke Dawson, maybe. You give them a look.
There is one difference between Yiadom this year and Roby last year. Roby was on his 5th-year option making $9 million. You hoped he was going to turn into the guy. With Yiadom, he's still very young. I'm not giving up on him, but I do think that mid-game and during this week moving forward, you need to make adjustments, whether it is looking at someone else right at the get-go or whether it's just making sure he has more help.
You know, and what's a good place to make adjustments from?
The booth.
Not letting that go. From SteveBurt92, hey, BSN family. By the time this comment is being read, I'll officially be in Denver for the first time.
Hey, welcome.
I figured while I'm here, I got to check out the Blake Street Tavern. I'll be there Friday night repping my Rutgers Red. I'd love to meet some of the family. Feel free to email me at aromanhale37@yahoo.com. If you actually want to email him, I'm sure you can go find it on the website.
It's H-A-L-E, by the way.
Mm.
Also, it is sad that tap water is on my list of things to do as well.
Hey, it's cheap.
Got it. I'm not someone who denies facts. So I'm going to share with you guys this news that at C-O Kalo G tweeted at me. From North 40 News, which appears to be a news outlet from Berthoud.
Mm.
Winner of the best tasting water in the Rocky Mountain section, city of Fort Collins.
Oh, wow.
But all I responded was, seems weird that I wasn't one of the judges. Seems a little weird.
Maybe you're on the barred list in Fort Collins. Did something happen?
I don't have many friends up there, except for the people that listen to this podcast.
From Otis Merriweather, hey, RK, Zach, and Mace. Just two things. First, I'm on board with starting Will Parks at the other safety spot, moving Jackson to base cornerback. But what percentage chance does that happen? I feel like Parks doesn't get enough credit. A lot of people thought Cravens would take his spot, but Will has been solid and came through with some big plays last year, especially the TD save against the Steelers. Definitely think he can be that energy guy. Second, it sucks that Tim Patrick got hurt, but I'm excited to see Winnie get some run. Thanks, guys. P.S. I'm coming down to the Chiefs Thursday game. Is there some sort of BSN pregame going on for that?
More information at a later date as it relates to that. It is excited to see Juwan Winfrey get some run. Well, it would be, but I don't know if that's going to happen. It seems like they brought in River Craycraft, and he might be taking that active roster spot.
Maybe, or they could still be looking. It'd be a shame for River if he got pipped on the roster once again.
It certainly would be, but he's an end-of-the-roster guy.
But, yeah, and there are always guys like that point coming through. Broncos fans of the 2000s may remember Chad Mustard, a tight end slash offensive tackle who was on the roster and off the roster and on the roster and off the roster for about 3 years. Some guys are like that. And the percentage on Will Parks being safety and Kareem Jackson a base cornerback, I'd say probably about 50-50 at this point, given if Yiadom struggles this week, I think it's something that they would really think long and hard about.
I don't have nearly enough confidence in the lack of stubbornness from an NFL football coach. I always see it. I always see them be stubborn. And the only evidence I have of Vic Fangio to this point is that he, too, is stubborn when it comes to these type of things.
Maybe you see it happen later, but this week and even in the near future, I don't see it.
I hope it does, because
I agree.
Like I said, I want to see them not be stubborn.
Next one coming in from Iceman. He says, "Hey, boys, I'll start with a few observations. Monday night was a regular season continuation of the 49ers joint practices and training camp."
Yep, I wrote that.
"Gruden's trench players popped all 22 Broncos starters in the jaw, and not one of the 22 responded in any way."
Wrote about that, too.
"Three, Mr. B, I hope you didn't see Monday Night Football from heaven." Four, 9/11/2001. 18-year anniversary, remembering all of our fellow Americans we lost and their families and all of the first responders. As a former Air Force and Army Reserve soldier, every year my blood boils more and more."
Thank you for your service, Iceman.
Yes, thank you, Iceman. Mm-hmm. And, of course, our thoughts were with everyone, especially yesterday. Five, more Allie and Lindsay. Six, your thoughts. Would Davis have made any real difference shutting Jacobs down?
In the run game, yeah, for sure. That's what he does.
Yep.
Is he plugs up those holes and he bruises you a little bit, sort of the same way that the Raiders were doing to the Broncos.
And that's the thing that you got to remember about Todd is you hope that Vic doesn't think he's an all-around linebacker, because then you're going to get burned in coverage.
Maybe he doesn't have any all-around linebackers right now. Actually, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that inside linebacker is one of the first two positions taken by the Broncos in the 2020 draft.
Mm. Yeah, I would have said that 1 year ago today and probably even like 180 days ago today, if that's far enough back before the draft. But somehow, some way, they always forget about it.
So they admit a mistake. Because, come on.
How many times are their drafts a correction of the year before's drafts?
Yep.
That's yep. pretty much the tale of the last two drafts, really.
And speaking of draft decision makers, seven, Johnny Boy Elwood Teeth.
Huh. Okay.
Eight, I would appreciate my 15 cents worth today. Well, hopefully you're getting it. Nine, before Mace, you two got me through the longest offseason ever. I will always respect all three of you now.
Hold on. It's not. It's still just 10 cents. It's just divided three ways now.
It's 333.
Yeah, three cents, and then you got to take a nice sharp knife and cut the other one into thirds, and then like kind of take them like a mini football and flick them at us.
And he finishes up with 10. Please, for God's sake, stop the Broncos positive spin machine. Zach's takes on the late night pod was spot on. There cannot be any excuse after 11-22. We hope your favorite in-laws are doing well. Yes, yes, she is home from the hospital, which is just incredible. 2 weeks after a heart transplant.
How are we the positive spin machine?
Yeah, I don't get that.
We've had you can count on one hand the nice things we've had to say about that game.
It's really true. And Ryan, you'll like this. He says, "Go Buffaloes and the Air Force Academy and Thunder Down Under."
Okay.
One thing I will say, and this is one of the positives on one hand. You talk about guys that responded to the team being punched in the mouth, Courtland Sutton.
Right. Yep. So.
Carpaccio Chris says, "I'm proud to announce that I have finally joined the list of subscribers who's tried not just some Breck Brews, but some Strawberry Sky. Nice. I had to drive 75 miles to San Diego to find a liquor store that had them. And in terms of California traffic, that's a solid 2-hour drive.
Oh, gosh.
But I just had to try them. And boy, I was not disappointed. As a matter of fact, I was so happy with the refreshing taste, I'm going to drive back next week. Damn good beer. P.S. Welcome to the community, Mace. We're all happy to have you. Much love, Carpaccio Chris."
Thank you. Appreciate
that. That is awesome.
Worth the drive.
You guys are crazy. I love you.
Love Thunder Down Under. And I guess I am saying your name. "Can't believe Mace thought my name was inappropriate on this damn good pod. No innuendo at all. Australians are renowned for our very deliberate and non-satirical language." And yes, this is why I'm a fan of those old Australian rockers, AC/DC. Mm. Personal favorite song of mine, Big Balls.
Yes. Dirty Deeds.
Yes. Done Dirt Cheap. Oh, yeah.
A lot of good ones.
Yes. Very Australian band. Two questions. Number one, how do you feel about how Philip Lindsay was used in the offense against the Raiders, and what would you ask of Scangarello for his use against the Bears?
Real quick, there's also one called "Let Me Put My Love Into You."
Yes. Nothing subtle there.
Oh, gosh.
So how did the Broncos put their Lindsay into the Bears?
Well, you need to use him a lot.
Yeah.
You want to make sure that trying to avoid innuendo here. I don't want to get caught.
I was going to say hard and fast.
Wow.
You just got to power him.
You know, maybe you have to recharge a little bit, but generally you don't get too worn down over time from use.
Yes, exactly. Okay, I'm trying to gather my thoughts here. you got to use Phillip Lindsay a lot. Don't get too cute trying to mix it up. Be deliberate with your game plan and pound the rock.
It's a way of saying it. Number two, best bar, best burger, and best wings in Denver for a first-timer. Go.
I say best burger, My Brother's Bar.
I got best bar, Blake Street Tavern.
Best wings. Ooh.
Oh,
you should have taken that one.
I should have.
You go for it then.
Well, it's not necessarily in Denver, but it is in the Denver metro area. There's a place in Aurora, which normally I don't give shout-outs like this, but it was so good that they deserve it. It's called Wing Hut.
Okay.
It's like you would never expect it to be legit. Like, it's in a shopping center. And once you walk in, though, it's got like a cool kind of like divey wing place vibe. They've got TV, so if you want to go there and watch the game tonight, you can do that. About 1,000 sauces. I've only tried one of them so far.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
It's called Way Too Hot. It's actually not way too hot. It's just right. but it is their hottest that they have. It's like a habanero style buffalo sauce. Oh, so good.
And I would also say this. If you're coming to Denver, make sure you get some good green chili somewhere as well. And there are any number of spots that can satisfy. I'll actually talk up my neighborhood pub around the corner from where I live, Reavers, over in Wash Park.
All right. Good. They actually have great green chili at Blake Street Tavern, which wouldn't be expected. Mm. That's like a thing that only also probably in New Mexico, but maybe not. Like, random places that are not known for Mexican food in Denver will just have amazing green chili.
It's the Denver thing. And I mean, I'd never heard of green chili before I moved out here. And now if I ever leave Denver, I'm going back with about 3 or 4 different recipes because I can't live the rest of my life without green chili now that I've been in Denver.
Or like you have like a breakfast burrito or something and you're like, what? There's no green chili in this? Like, what is the point of it?
Exactly. Yeah. P.S. Where can you buy a Philly cheesesteak hot pocket in Denver? Sippers, as an impartial foreigner, I'm happy to weigh in on this argument. The great culinary debate of the century. Probably any King Soopers or anything like that.
Is that what he
like
meant
that.
By Sippers?
Maybe Sippers is a... King Super, yeah. Maybe it meant King Supers by Sippers.
King Sippers is us with Breck Brews after a game.
No, exactly. I think it's more than a sip. It's more like a glug. Gulp.
Gulpers.
Yes. Next one coming in from Vivid Swing. He says, hey, guys, reposting almost my comment from Tuesday that got lost in case of the missing pod. Seems like all the comments ended up on Ryan's piece about the Broncos mentality.
How weird.
But Vivid Swing and any of you out there, if we miss a comment on accident, it was on accident. Just repost it. So thanks, Vivid Swing. He says, I know there might be talent issues, and that's why we can't cover tight ends or protect the quarterback. However, one, you would have hoped the red zone woes would be fixed with a new scheme and coordinator. Apparently they're not. Two, you would have hoped the mental mistakes, holdings and such, would be fixed with the new coaching staff. Apparently they're not. Three, retire from Mr. B, of course. Four, you would have hoped the game management would be improved, but apparently it's not. With a whole new coaching staff, why do these problems persist? At least there's a good chance the mental mistakes can be fixed before next week, maybe, hopefully, or the intensity issues, right? Right? Last thing, welcome, Mace. Truly a fantastic addition to an already fantastic podcast. Keep up the good work, all three of you.
Ultimately, they're the same players for the most part. You've turned over 1/3 of the roster, but 2/3 of the roster returned from last year. And it takes time to break players out of bad habits. I think, let's look at the offensive line for an example. Mike Munchak, he goes to Pittsburgh in 2014, and for a decade, that's the second worst offensive line in terms of sack rate allowed. It's right up through the 2013 season. And over the 5 years that followed, second best in sack rate allowed with the same quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger. But they didn't make all the improvement in that 1 year. They took steps forward in 2014, but it wasn't until 15, 16, 17 to where that Pittsburgh offensive line really got to where Munchak wanted it. It's going to take a little while to break some players out of bad habits.
Agree on all accounts. One thing that, especially about the red zone, there are ways to play call your way into the end zone, but the red zone is where talent matters most. There's not a lot of room to scheme guys open. It's not this big, you know, open area where you can really open up the playbook. The red zone is about beating your man. You got to do it. The offensive line has to do it. The Noah Fants and Cortland Suttons and Emmanuel Sanders of the world has to do it. And Joe Flacco has to go in there and make good throws. And if you miss on any of those three levels in the red zone, it is massively highlighted, and it's going to stop you from succeeding.
The other interesting thing in the red zone, if you have a quarterback who's getting the ball out quickly, like Derek Carr, it takes, and you want to get the ball out quickly in the red zone, that too takes some of the spice off the pass rush.
From Mile High Magic 94, if Hamilton catches that pass, Flacco is on pace for 4,500 yards and 32 TDs and no picks. So let's cut the guy a break, LOL. No. In all reality, I actually thought Flacco looked good and made a lot of nice throws, but for some reason everyone is bashing him and ready to throw the towel on the season. What were your guys' honest evaluations on Flacco? Zach, I'll start with you.
I mean, yeah, that's true. I guess you would have been on pace for that, but if the Raiders don't go into total prevent defense and Emmanuel Sanders doesn't get that touchdown, so then he could be on pace for, I guess, 4,500 yards, zero touchdowns, zero picks. That's certainly not inspiring. And what did he do before garbage time? I thought Joe Flacco was Joe Flacco, and that's shouldn't be a surprise to anyone that he was what we thought he was. He's not going to go out and turn the ball over. He's also not going to go and just win you game after game. If the defense would have played a good an elite game, like we say they need to, Joe Flacco was good enough to guide an average offense, and that's what he is.
He did have the highest single-game passer rating for a Broncos starter since Trevor Siemian in Week 2 of 2017.
Wow.
But he was...
Shout out Trev, now a starter.
Yes. Wish we knew how to quit Trevor Siemian as starter. But Flacco, in the fourth quarter, a lot of that was garbage time, 8 of 9, 131. One touchdown, 155.8 rating. So that's where that came from when the Raiders were playing back. Joe Flacco is who he is.
I knew you'd make it back as a starter, Trev. I'm so proud of you.
Is he going to just take the job right out of, just rip it right out of Darnold's hands and never turn back?
He's done it to another for a former first-round pick.
Honestly, this week, predict Trevor Siemian's stat line.
Against the Browns.
On Monday Night Football.
At home, right?
Yep.
I'm going to go 20 of 23.
Oh, my God.
Whoa.
223 yards, one touchdown.
I'm going to go 21 of 31, 255, one touchdown, two picks. I see the Browns trying to exploit Trevor Siemian's long-known woes against cover two.
I'm going
to
say 15 of 29 for 189 yards. Two picks, zero touchdowns.
Oy.
Good news is my Browns are going to get a win.
Yes, they are.
DJC15, man, it's been a rough week for me between my Longhorns losing and the Broncos getting embarrassed. All I can say is we need some hope. I'm tired of the same problems for almost the past half decade not getting improved. I'm honestly not sold any quarterbacks for next year's draft. Never trust a Bama QB as a pro prospect. Herbert would be a pro project. Fromm got exposed against my Longhorns last year, in my opinion. I will say, even though it sounds like homerism, Sam Ehlinger is Paul Pierce, a.k.a. the truth. Definitely worth a look this year or next if he stays for his senior season.
At that point, you might as well go for Joe Burrows, right? Because he beat him head-to-head. I was just giving you crap, DJC. I actually like Ehlinger. He's kind of impressive to
me. He's intriguing.
So he's 2022?
No.
He's 2021.
Is he a true sophomore? Right
I don't know. I don't know. That's why I'm asking. When would he? Is he the same draft as Trev?
I don't know. We'll find. Actually, that has a ring to it.
Okay.
But while Mace looks that up, I'll tell you about my friends over at Weinster. Hung out with my guy Will Whalen, who is a big part of the operation over there at Weinster this weekend. He ordered 4 bottles of wine for us at dinner, and.
Oh,
each and
you
every
were fancy man.
Oh yeah,
woo.
We were flexing on Friday night.
Yeah,
you know,
you were.
All these Nebraska people came into town. We had to show them what real class looks like. So we went and ordered 4 bottles of wine. Each and every one was so good. Like the people over at Weinster are such experts when it comes to this stuff, and they find the wines that you would never hear about if you weren't a Weinster subscriber. So if you at all like wine, you got to get with Weinster. And the cool thing here is that if you sign up today with the code BSN25, you're going to get $25 off your first shipment And I guarantee you, you'll find something you love in that box. That's Weinster, W-I-N-E-S-T-Y-R.
Alan Jerzyk Jr., by the way.
So he's eligible.
Yes.
Wow. Wow. Next one coming in from Lone Star Bronco. He says, I don't like the Fant pick. I understand the reasoning, but I don't like it. I don't mind the trade back at all, but I feel like Tytus Howard, Andre Dillard, Marquise Brown, and three corners went soon after. I know hindsight is 20/20, and Fant can still develop, but I feel like the value and need would have been better. Obviously, corner didn't seem like a need at the time, but with Chris leaving and Yadam showing, I would feel much better about the situation with Byron Murphy. Your thoughts? I hated the Fant pick at the time and still not sold on it because of the talent, but because of value.
There's a long history of tight ends taking a while to develop, and that's why I keep saying with Noah Fant, evaluate where he is after year two rather than year one. Now, Marquise Brown, of course, he had a big game against that horrific Miami defense, but the Broncos did need speed at wide receiver, and there was a guy who checked the Broncos' boxes in terms of character, senior, leadership, that whole template. It was Terry McLaurin from Ohio State.
We loved
sitting
him at the
there
Senior Bowl.
In round three, and the Broncos picked Draymond Jones. Draymond Jones may turn out well, but in week one, Draymond Jones was inactive. He is the sixth defensive lineman right now, and that means he's going to be standing on the sideline in warm-ups unless he somehow moves up in practice. Terry McLaurin, by the way, had 104 yards on three catches in the regular season opener for Washington last week.
They got the wrong Buckeye.
Right school, wrong guy.
McLaurin was our guy at the Senior Bowl. Like, Drew Lock to Terry McLaurin was lighting up the field. We were all about it.
Yeah. And again, I thought he'd be on the Broncos' radar just because he checked all the character boxes, you know, that they've been looking for in kind of reestablishing their draft template the last couple of years. Terry McLaurin fit perfectly in that.
Instead, Case Keenum is throwing bomb touchdowns to him. From Vertical Sox, Mace, you broke my heart with the retweet of Brandon Thorne showing how brilliant Ryan Ramczyk was against J.J. Watt. Bowles over Ramczyk has to be one of the most colossal and consequential draft blunders of the Elway era.
You're not wrong.
Is drafting players who should be good football players because of their measurables over players who actually are good football players the biggest mistake a team can make in drafting?
To be honest with you, I think the Bowles-Ramczyk pick, along with the Paxton Lynch pick a year before that, is why the Broncos changed their draft template for 2018 and 2019. And with Ramczyk, I know I am very pro Wisconsin O-line. I've made that clear many times over the years. But Bowles just, I looked at him coming out and thought, okay, he's aggressive, but he holds too much. He's not technically sound. And Ramczyk was a classic Wisconsin lineman. They're well coached. Those guys are technically sound. There's a chance, guys, that Ryan Ramczyk could be becoming what Joe Thomas was for a decade. And they're both Wisconsin guys, again. When in doubt, draft the Wisconsin O-lineman.
If you had any question about where those guys were at that exact time, which we know for a fact they did, there was debate within this building about which guy to go with. How do you not give the tiebreaker to the guy who's 4 years younger?
Exactly.
By the time that Ryan Ramczyk is Garrett Bowles' age when he was drafted, the dude is going to be the best tackle in football.
Yeah, and when Garrett Bowles holds, everyone's mad at Garrett, and understandably so, it's his fault. But that's who you drafted. You drafted a guy that holds.
A handsy guy with a temper.
You drafted a guy and hoped he would change where there was a guy sitting on the board where you didn't need to hope he changed.
Oh.
Blows my mind.
Yeah. Here's the thing. You can't draft on hope. You have to draft on what they are. The assumption that all of a sudden they're going to become something that they weren't in the college ranks, that's a bold play to make. I mean, Philip Lindsay was undrafted, but he is who he was in college.
100%.
A tough running back.
I've always
regardless of size.
And maybe the Steelers or the Patriots are the closest thing we've gotten to this. But I've always wondered like what a team would look if they just only drafted players that were good. Like, stop drafting guys based off what they look like. Just look and be like, oh, that guy, he's the best player on his team. We're taking him.
He can play football.
Right.
Typical Trev. Hi, guys. Long-time listener, first-time commenter. First, I wanted to vent for 15 seconds. I'm 100% with you guys on wondering why the heck we restructured Joe Flacco's contract. If you aren't going to use the added cap space to make a subsequent trade for someone like Trent Williams, then why make the move at all? Doing so would also force you to pay three top tackle money to both him and Juwan James. It just doesn't make any sense why a team with so many needs would willingly give up valuable draft capital to plug just one of many holes on the roster. Okay. End of rant. Yeah, it doesn't make sense, but again, they think they're up, they think upstairs in this building that they're close, and that's why they do it. This, however, leads me to my question. At what point this season do the Broncos become sellers, and if it comes to it, who do they make available, and who would actually net a decent return? Let's go for that.
There's no such thing as like buyers and sellers in the NFL. Everyone just stands pat. Rarely do you see a team sell off their assets in the middle of the season.
So it would be,
Do you agree?
You never see it. This isn't baseball.
Yeah. A legitimate one would be Chris Harris.
Right, but again, you're basically getting a half-year rental of Chris Harris. So fourth-round pick? Is that what you're getting for that?
You're hoping for a three.
Right. You're hoping for that. You're probably going to get finessed into a four.
And that happens if you're 2-6. I mean, if the season is way out of line.
And you better be ready to lose the locker room.
Yep, exactly.
So you're basically tanking at that point. So if you're going to do that, you might as well trade some other guys too.
And if you're doing that, you're playing Drew Lock.
Oh, gosh.
Period.
You better be taking him off the IR.
P.S. Loving having Mace as part of the team now. You guys have been killing it for a long time now and are hands down the best Broncos coverage out there. Keep up the great work. Go Broncos. And thank you, and I do agree we have the best Broncos coverage out there.
We love you, Typical Trev, and I agree with Mace. Next one coming in from Lax Freak. He says, my comment was missed. Okay. Hey, guys, listening to the last pod, you mentioned that generational gap between players. When I heard that, I cringed because that shows that the vets on this team believe they can't learn anything from these young players. If this is true, I'm 100% on trading these players before the deadline this season and get some quality draft picks and get our future.
Another guy that you could trade out for a half-year rental is Shelby Harris.
In my mind, the 2015 vets are gone, and 2018 leaders, i.e. Lindsey, Sutton, and Chubb, take over as leaders of this team. They are your future. I would be okay with us not succeeding this year and clear those guys out and build from what we have. Thoughts?
If the season goes askew, if they can't get this turned around, if they're, like you say, sitting at 2-6, I'm in favor of trading what you can, even if you're only getting, say, a fifth or sixth round pick. I'll give you an example of how those late round picks can help. How long over the last 2 years since Isaiah McKenzie's fumbling issues have the Broncos just tried to find whatever waiver claim they could plug in as a punt or kickoff returner? Well, then you have a fifth or sixth round pick, you can pick one of those guys. Colby Wadman had a good game Monday night, but what if he goes back to being inconsistent? Well, with one of those late round picks, you pick another punter. You actually did pick a punter, Riley Dixon, back in 2016, but then you didn't hang on to him long enough, and look, he's killing it for the Giants now.
Yeah, Wadman had a good game.
He did. He's actually a top third of the league in punting in most metrics after week one. And this is three good weeks in a row for Wadman, which I think is significant. He's on the best stretch of his career, including the preseason.
Super nice guy, too.
Yes, he is.
From Wesley. Hello to the bros and old man Mace.
Oh, man.
I greatly appreciate your coverage and especially the pods to help talk us all off the ledge after that uninspiring performance. Man, you guys are easy to talk off the ledge. Just talk about how bad they were. And
it's only one game.
Come right back to our arms. I'm just here to talk about the quote, the coach. No question. There's a huge difference between a calm and collected coach who's VJ, i.e. incompetent, and Vic. Vic is extremely qualified and more than competent. I get that he looked much like VJ, which scares people, but he's miles ahead of Vance. Remember that he's a very competent coach. Hell, he'll figure this out. I still don't understand why we're evaluating facial expressions of the coach during a game that they're losing.
And also, I didn't see Vic standing there with his mouth open, not knowing what to do.
Squinting, looking at the scoreboard.
Yeah.
As to the emotions, honestly, these guys are humans. Would you rather work hard for a boss that screams at you when you do something wrong, or one who expresses his displeasure quietly, then takes you aside to teach you the right way to do things? The Broncos have a losing culture right now, and the way to fix it is not to scream and yell. It takes time and patience to change a culture.
Well, the best thing is the coach who tailors what he does to what motivates the individual player. Right. It's what Bill Belichick and before him Bill Parcells were so they're so phenomenal at that they know which players need the scream and which players need the pat on the shoulder.
And sometimes you just need, it's not, I don't think anyone here was advocating for Vic to like change who he was and start eviscerating people. They just needed someone needed to go fire somebody up.
You know what maybe could change from Vic is the lack of change. Maybe the booth would help.
Yes.
Maybe. Wow. Flamunda Cheese checking in. Hey, fellas, I have to hit you with the two questions that have been on my mind for far too many years. Obviously, it involves good, strong drafting. I just wanted to get your takes on what we can do to fix our systemic problems. Number one, what would you do to fix the inside linebacker core so tight ends don't thrash our team every game? I've been pounding the table for years and agree with Mace about the void Danny Trevathan left.
They should trade for Devin Bush.
I was going to say about Devin Bush.
Oh, man. He's going to be the one that got away for a while, isn't
he? What do you think? Noah Fant to third and a fifth? Will that get it done?
No, it won't at all.
Number two, what would you do to fix our offensive line? It feels like the last time we had a great O-line was when Elway was under center. It may be early, but all I want for Christmas is an offensive line. Well, it's interesting you mentioned Elway.
I got an idea.
It was good
here.
With Peyton, too. Quarterback.
Trade for Ryan Ramczyk.
How many first-round picks would that cost?
All of them.
You think you could do Garrett Bowles for Ramczyk straight up?
Probably not.
So what I would do for the offensive line, first of all, Connor McGovern, wasn't great, but he was solid. And you hope that he can build on that. And if he continues having a game of clean snaps like he did against the Raiders on Monday night, and if he continues getting better, if you see enough from Connor McGovern over the first, say, eight games, I start working on an extension. Get some stability there. Dalton Reisner, he's going to be a fundamental part of the line. So that's two spots that hopefully you can say you're getting close to figured out. Juwan James, that's a setback, no doubt. You keep drafting and developing, and you find the guy. And I think next year, I've already mentioned inside linebacker, maybe it becomes a draft where you pick a couple of offensive linemen early once again. Wisconsin, Tyler Biadasz, center. Now, maybe
lock
what you
in.
Do, move Connor McGovern to right guard if Ron Leary's not back and Biadasz is your center. I love that interior if you have McGovern at right guard, Reisner at left guard, Biadasz at center. I could win games with that if I were coaching.
I just want to know how they didn't give Mike Munchak something to work with. Like, why didn't they give him a ball of clay in the sixth round for him to try and mold into, someone that he can really like?
Probably they were thinking Garrett Bowles was the ball of clay.
That's dried up.
Hey now, it's been a while since my last comment. Here's a tune from another band I'm in. We're called Whiskey Blanket and based out of Boulder. It's hip-hop with a classical twist because we use lots of classical instruments like violin, etc. It's definitely not something you hear every day. Let me know what you guys think. I will definitely listen to that. That sounds pretty awesome.
I've been to a Whiskey Blanket concert.
Hey!
Cool.
That's awesome. We're fans of you.
Been around for a while. Awesome underground hip-hop out of Boulder. To Flamunda Cheese. I was pretty young, but 8 Hour Orphans, who you might remember, opened for you guys. One of my best friend's brothers was in 8 Hour Orphans, and then later 303, which I'm sure you probably know as someone who's in the Boulder music scene. So I've seen you guys live, and
that
it's awesome.
That is too cool. Next one coming in from Sir James Radio says, I really love the fact that Mace and I agree on the assessment of Jake Fromm. Ryan, you'll come around. It wasn't too long ago that you were driving the hashtag Tank for Tua bandwagon. All aboard the hashtag Bomb for Fromm train.
I like it.
I was high on Tank for Tua until I realized what Mel Tucker could do to him.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh.
What, lose to him?
Mel didn't lose to him. Mel knocked him out of the game. Mm. And then
we should ask Mel Tucker what he thinks of Jake Fromm.
To Jalen Hurts.
Saw him every day.
Mel Tucker could give you Jake Fromm. He could give you Tua.
He could.
He could give you Baker.
It's a good resource to have around here. He goes on and says,
Real quick. Someone asked Mel Tucker after the game, have you ever been part of a 17-point comeback like that? He said, yeah, Rose Bowl 2 years ago.
That's great. He says, with the pandering out of the way, I think Monday showed us just how important Jano is. Those usual lanes just weren't there for Royce and Phil. The offensive line didn't help much either, but those holes are much easier to force open. We have a nuclear warhead leading
like
the way.
Like that nickname.
Also, Trevor Siemian is a starting quarterback in the NFL again. So that's a thing. My guy, Trev. Sir James, P.S. This is totally not a Ryan burner account, but if it were, it'd be a damn good burner account.
real quick,
it is a Ryan Burner account.
One thing I think that one mistake we made last week in evaluating the game, and I think it was just because we underestimated the Raiders, but we really didn't talk enough about who the Broncos weren't going to have out there in terms of Jano, in terms of Todd Davis, in terms of Callahan. I think if you put those three guys on the field, I think there's a much better chance the Broncos win the game.
Maybe. It was just a brutal game.
Yeah, for sure. All right, anyways, the next one is from Mike in Albuquerque. He says, "Hey, fellas, May, so excited you're on the pod. I would like to start a petition to bring Throw the Hat segment back to this pod. This was one thing I looked forward to each week on the two pods I listened to. Sorry, RK and Zach."
Maybe we'll bring it back if the Broncos lose on Sunday. We'll have to toss some hats.
The thing is, Zach and I don't wear hats.
I'll throw for you.
Or we can all just throw your hat. Retrieve it.
And Ryan Edwards and Steve Atwater didn't wear hats, but I got them wearing hats.
Oh,
and I've got the gifts of Steve Atwater hurling his headgear across the studio. Impressive.
You should have had him throw a helmet.
Oh, well, yeah, but they just built the studio. We didn't want to destroy it.
All right, he says a few thoughts and observations. One, 5 series for the offense in the preseason hurts. I know you've touched on this multiple times, so no need to comment. Two, Flacco is anticipating receiver breaks and throwing receivers open. So we have not seen that since Manning. Totally true. We talked about that too. Three for Mr. B. Four, Dalton is a stud. Five, we do need fire and passion. Yes, Phil brings that. Six, run Phil and Royce Moore. Seven for Elway. Eight, yes, we're rebuilding. I just wish someone in the front office will say it. Nine, Raiders still suck. On to the Bears.
No.
0-16 or 16-0, still Denver Broncos for life. Go Broncos.
That's what we love about you guys. You ride with us no matter what.
Yeah, I wish someone in the front office would say it, but don't hold your breath on that coming out. Steve Atwater, HOF. Were the week one issues due to talent or execution? I'd say probably both.
Both.
Yep.
Also, why can't Dalton Risner play right tackle and move Wilkinson to left guard?
Stop moving people.
Yes, you can't do that at this point in the season. It would be worse than it is now.
That's like doing something crazy like picking up a guy off the waiver wire and then making him start that week.
And I think Risner could do fine at right tackle, but he's doing very well at left guard, one of the better left guards around the league in week one. I don't want to get rid of something that is one of the strengths on this team right now.
If your train is on a track to a Pro Bowl guard, there's just no reason to take it off that track.
And he could, if he plays more games like that, he could be in the conversation later on this year for the Pro Bowl. You're exactly right.
Shout out Corey Nelson.
Sorry. I like Corey Nelson.
Bronco, good guy.
Yeah, from Broncos East Coast 58. Guys, I need your help. I feel like a broken man as a diehard Denver Broncos fan living in the heart of Pat's Nation. I need something positive to look forward to this season. How would we feel about bringing in a guy like Eric Berry to play safety and move Jackson down to corner with the cap space moving up? We address that. Here's something you can look forward to as a Broncos fan living in Pats country. Broncos would have to play the Pats this year. So you're not going to have to see that blowout.
No, but they have to play them next year.
Plenty of time to get
a lot of time to get it right.
Plenty of time for Tom Brady to get older.
AB, why is AB wearing a different number every day? He wore one yesterday. Now he's wearing 17.
It's a different one today?
Yep.
Yeah, wow. He couldn't wear one in a game unless every number in the teens and the 80s was taken.
So here's what must have happened. He got there and they got the 17 jersey out and he didn't like the way it fit, just like a helmet. So they gave him the number one.
Yeah.
Who has more receiving yards this week? Deshaun Hamilton, who's the Broncos 17, or Antonio Brown, who's the Patriots 17?
Deshaun, I think Antonio's going to be put on the commissioner's exempt list.
I think Date and AB won't be playing. So, yeah, I go Deshaun.
Not like they need him against Miami anyway.
Ugh, that's for sure.
They're what? They're 19.5-point favorites on the road.
And you know who they play right after that? The Darnoldless Jets.
Oh, my.
And you know who they play right after that? The Giants.
Look,
and then I think they play the Bengals or something. They're going 6-0 for sure.
The Patriots have done many things right over the last two decades, and I tip my hat to them. But it has certainly helped them out just a little bit that the rest of their division, for the most part, has been incompetent.
But is there some sort of, ripple effect? Like, the Patriots being so good is causing the other teams in the division to, like, panic?
Yeah, a little bit.
Like, fire guys that maybe shouldn't have been fired and et cetera, et cetera.
I think there's something to that, and also they've misfired on quarterbacks. I do think Buffalo with Brandon Bean as GM, Sean McDermott as head coach. They both came over from Carolina. They're going about their rebuild in a very intelligent manner, and I think they're poised to challenge the Patriots, if not overtake them, over the next 3 to 4 years. But they're very patient, and that's what's helping them out.
I don't think Tom's ever going to fall off. I think he'll play till 70 or something.
It's possible. All right, that's going to wrap it up for us today on the BSN Broncos podcast. But before we get out of here, I want to tell you about Piper Electric. For over 35 years, Piper Electric has been the most fairly priced, dependable, and trustworthy electrical contract companies in the Denver community. If you call 303-646-6765, they'll give you the BSN back-to-school hookup and save you 20% off your next service call. No job is too big or too small for Piper Electric. They work with the top professionalism and integrity in the biz, whether it's residential, commercial, or industrial work. Don't forget, 303-646-6765 to receive $20 off your next service call. And let's have our new friends, Whiskey Blanket, play us out today. Hey! You better bet on your dough, bro. One dead is in whole bows and headed to the trade at the end of the ozone. Repetitive, no goals, and so. Mojo, running low with the money, learning the oboe. That's so tactful. More tracks and macro and more complex than tax codes. Not singing the cash flows, astro. Singing we rap tight as a lasso. Take a peek at the rock skin, you peek at my ID. You might see why we be giving them dry heat. Sucking with the peak of the high seas. Any sicker we be seeking the IV. I've been doing my Tai Chi, brewing my Chai Tea. Loving my time, so you ever using it wisely. Might be the crises and lies to my psyches. Moving at light speed. Last to go when it ain't after pole playing chaperone to the whack ragged oceans and massive poses.